إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, the topic of today's lecture is back to the basics. Every so often I find that it is useful to remind ourselves of some basic facts of life. These are as follows. I have enlisted 12 of them. Number one, one day I will die and stand before Allah and will answer for what I did and what I failed to do of His orders and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reality and will not change whether I and all the humans and jinn choose to believe it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani and does not need me or my ibadah. Number four, if the entire world and all who live in it collectively deny Allah and refuse to worship Him, His greatness will not decrease by a single iota. Number five, if the entire world and all who live in it collectively become obedient to Allah and worship none other than Him, His greatness will not increase by a single iota. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani un hamid. Number six, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He does not need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَآمِنُوا خَيْرًا لَكُمْ وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O in Surah An-Nisa, O mankind, the messenger has now come unto you with the truth from your Rabb. Then believe in him for your own good. But if you deny, then behold, unto Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on earth. And Allah is indeed all-knowing, all-wise. Denying of facts doesn't change facts. Denying of the reality does not change reality. Number seven, all good begins and ends with obedience to Allah and in the following of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number eight, all evil begins and ends with the disobedience of Allah and in the denial of and refusal to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number nine, if we follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we do it for ourselves and for our own good. We are not doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number 10, anything in life that is begun with the obedience of Allah, any action, any event that is begun with the disobedience of Allah, will lead to pain and suffering and evil results for ourselves in this world and the Akhirah. And anything in life that is begun with the obedience of Allah and in accordance with the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will result in barakah and goodness for ourselves. Number 12 and the last of them, our job is to continue to remind ourselves and others whether they listen to us or not. My brothers and sisters, the big issue of course is with the business of obedience, which is the essence and the meaning of Islam in the first place. The willingness to subordinate our wills and desires to the will of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The realization that the pleasure of Allah is superior and more important than the opinions of all and everyone else. The acceptance in our minds and hearts that the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is superior to all other ways. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this spirit of obedience in His blessed book, He said, قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the situation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he told us about his conversation with Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِي إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Allah said, when His Rabb said to him, to Ibrahim alayhi salam, submit, aslim, he said, aslamtu li rabbil alameen. He said, I have submitted myself to the Rabb of the Alameen. And this submission to Allah, which is Islam, was enjoined by Ibrahim upon his sons and by Yaqub alayhi salam, who said, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion of Islam. Then do not die except in the faith of Islam as Muslims. The life history of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a wonderful example of the spirit of obedience and its consequences. It is a story not only of one man, but of his whole family who subjugated their desires and wishes to the will of Allah. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to take his wife Hajar alayhi salam and their little baby who was still unweaned and leave them in the valley of Makkah, he did that without question. It was an order that simply does not make sense in terms of our worldly logic. After all, if he had been ordered to go to Makkah and to settle there with his family, one could understand this. But to leave his wife, a lone woman, and her little baby, the one for whom he made dua and who was born to him after so many years, alone, defenseless and without any resources, without so much as an explanation of why he was doing this, doesn't make sense in terms of our worldly understanding. To understand this, we have to see it with the eyes of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his relationship with his Rabb, the Rabbul Alameen. But see the spirit of obedience of his wife, Hajar alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam left her and started walking away. Like anybody else, she asked him, where are you going? He said nothing. She understood what was happening. And so she asked him, is this the will of Allah? Ibrahim alayhi salam nodded in confirmation. He didn't even say that in so many words. He just nodded in confirmation. So she said, then you can go. If Allah ordered us to be here, He will not allow us to perish. What kind of faith is this? What kind of faith is this? How can this lady say this without any hesitation? When she left him and she does not know, she didn't know whether she would ever see him again. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left them and reached a place where they could not see him, he stopped and made this dua. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَحْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. إبراهيم عليه السلام said, O our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable, barren valley by your sacred house. This ayah is one of the proofs of the sacredness of the place of the Kaaba, that the Kaaba actually predates Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam reconstructed it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this, and he said that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Oh, our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house, in order, O our Rabb, that they may establish a salah. So fill some hearts among men with love towards them, and O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. My brothers and sisters, just think about this. If you were leaving your wife and a little newborn baby in a place like this, I won't even ask you, would you do it or wouldn't you do it? Let's assume that you would do it. What dua would you ask? What is the first thing that you would ask for your wife and your child? And let's see, what is the first thing that the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked? He said, I'm leaving them here in order that they may establish a salah. And then, therefore, Ya Rab, so fill some hearts among men with love towards them. And O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. The love of people, popularity of people, izzat with people, respect with people, is a consequence of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only the people who bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them in izzah and raises them in the hearts and minds of people. The ones who bow before Allah, Allah makes the rest of the world bow before them. And then, as a consequence of this obedience, people start to love that person. People start to love that person. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua in a place that was so barren. There wasn't a blade of grass there and there wasn't any water to drink. Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't ask for a dry piece of bread. Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't say, please give them some little thing so that they will survive. He said, oh Allah, give them fruits. Ajib. Because this is the sunnah of asking dua. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the du'as of the anbiya so that we learn how to ask dua. You first show and demonstrate your obedience. Then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and his blessing. We demonstrate our obedience and then we ask Allah. Not before that. We first demonstrate our obedience and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah in keeping with His majesty and grace. We don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeping our small minds and our small aspirations and our small hopes in mind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that He is the creator of the conditions. He can change any condition anytime He wishes. It is thanks to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam that all of us who go to Makkah today, thousands of years later, eat from the fruits of the earth. Out of season fruits are available in Makkah. 12 months of the year. In the time of such trials, Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking about the establishment of Salah. I am reminded of the Sahaba who asked the same question about the Dajjal. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them about the Dajjal, and he said that he will be there for 40 days, one day will be like 1 year. And the Sahaba didn't ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how should we fight the Dajjal? What should we do at that time? They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, when the day is like a year, how should we pray? What is the sequence and method of Salah on that day? Ajib. Just think about that, my brothers and sisters. These are the people who learned the deen at the feet of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew what was important and what was not important. And that's why they asked the questions that they asked. And what is the result of this obedience? What was the result of this obedience? The result of this obedience was the well of Zamzam. The water of which flows and will continue to flow until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. And the whole world drinks it. Water that apparently has no end. In a place where there was no water, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the well of Zamzam, He created a well that has no limit to the amount of water that it produces. The result of this obedience is the construction of the Kaaba. It is the immortalizing of this noble lady, Hajar alayhi salam. Her sa'i, her running up and down the two hills of Safa and Marwa in the arkan of Hajj and Umrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this the rule until the day of judgment, that if anyone wants to make Hajj and Umrah, he or she will have to imitate to make the ittiba of Hajar alayhi salam, without which their worship is not acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her running an act of His worship and immortalized her memory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made His Nabi do the ittiba of Hajar alayhi salam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sa'i between the hills of Safa and Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that no one on the face of the earth will be able to come to the haram with the intention of Umrah or Hajj, and that person refuses to carry out the sa'i. If he wants his Hajj to be completed and if he wants his Umrah to be completed, he will have to make Sa'i, which is what Hajar alayhi salam did. The wages of obedience, my brothers and sisters, is honor, which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there was the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in a dream that he was sacrificing his son in the name of Allah. Subhanallah, the tests for Ibrahim alayhi salam never ceased. Now, it is not as if Ibrahim alayhi salam, if had an order directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of wahi that came through Jibreel alayhi salam. It is not as if Jibreel alayhi salam came to him with this order from Allah. He saw this in a dream. Sure, the dreams of prophets are wahi, but prophets are also human. They also love their children, especially children who are born after begging Allah for them for so many years. Yet what does he do? He tells his son about his dream and asks for his opinion. He asks him, what do you think? Reflect. Can you ask for an opinion if you haven't prepared the child through tarbiyah first? It is a test. It was a test for both father and son. Just stop for a minute and reflect. If you and I had to do this test, and even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, sacrifice this one child and I will give you another one, will we sacrifice the child? Every individual child, we love him for himself, we love her for herself. He's not dispensable. We can't say, well, you know, one gone, another one will come. Every child is dispensable. How do you sacrifice that child? But subhanallah, see the Nabi of Allah. See the son of the Nabi of Allah. Look at the child. A child, not a grown man, full of knowledge and wisdom. Just a child. But a child brought up to be obedient to Allah. What does he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even tells us how old the child was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Safat, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَا قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Allah said, and when he, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his son Ismail was old enough to walk with him. He, Ibrahim alayhi salam, said to him, O my son, I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you, offering you in sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do you think? Imagine, this is a conversation between a father and a son. A father who is a Nabi, the son who is going to be a Nabi, and at that time is a little boy. The father is asking him, I saw in my dream, that I am offering you in sacrifice to Allah. So what do you think? He, Ismail alayhi salam, said, O my father, do that which you are commanded to do. Insha'Allah, you shall find me of as-sabirin. Ajib, he does not say, you will find me to be among the sabirin. He said, Insha'Allah, you will find me to be among the sabirin. He does not say, you will find me among the sabirin. He does not say, I will make sabr. He says, Insha'Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, you will find me among the sabirin. The people who are patient and forbearant. And then Allah said, then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead on the side of his head for slaughtering, and we called out to him and said, O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the vision. You have fulfilled your dream. Verily, thus do we reward the muhsinun. Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial. It was a very difficult test. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, a ram. And we left for him a goodly remembrance among generations to come in later times. Salamun ala Ibrahim. Salam, peace be upon Ibrahim. Thus indeed do we reward the muhsinun. Subhanallah. The Mufassirin say that Ismail alayhi salam said to his father, lay me on my face or on the side, because if you look at my face, you will not be able to move the knife, you will not be able to cut. The son is giving advice to his father on how to slaughter him.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to Ibrahim, Ya Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah sent salam on Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, Salam alaykum. Subhanallah. And what was the reward of this deed, my brothers and sisters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this story and the words of the father and son a part of his word, and thus made the reading of them an act of worship. He sent a sheep from Jannah to be slaughtered in the place of Ismail alayhi salam, and made that slaughter a part of Hajj and an act of worship and the means for seeking his pleasure for any Muslim who is capable of doing it anywhere in the world. And thus shall this story be alive as long as the Quran remains on the face of the earth and in the hearts of men and women, and as long as the Hajj continues to be performed and the Eid al-Adha continues to be celebrated all over the world. These are the wages of obedience. Truly the rewards of obedience are great, and they are for us, and right here in this life, and of course even more in the Akhirah. It is because obedience is such a critical matter in Islam, and because Ibrahim alayhi salam was an epitome of obedience, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the ummah of his last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Millat Ibrahim. Allah called them the Millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yet we are the ones who have become the worst of transgressors and disobedient ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ دِينًا قِيَمًا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truly my Rabb has guided me to a straight path, a right religion, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hanifan, Islam. Hanifa means the one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any shirk and without any partners. And he said about Allah Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was not of al-mushrikun. Allah also said, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ نِتَّبِ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we inspired you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the religion of the Hanif, the religion of Tawheed, because he was not of the Mushrikun. The religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have been called the Millat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that is the wages of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the millat, the ummah of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the millat of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, it is in the obedience of Allah without any argument, question or delay that lies true success. Those who do this operate from the basic principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. It is this matter that is the basis of all problems with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, do we really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact knows what is best for us or not? So why do we disobey Allah? When at a cognitive level, all Muslims will at least accept this fact that in the obedience of Allah lies their own success in this world and the next. In my opinion, there are three main reasons why we disobey Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite knowing the harmfulness of this. The three things are, number one, lack of certain belief in the Akhirah and the Day of Judgment. The second one is tendency to follow our own desires in disobedience of the orders of Allah. And the third one is the fear of or concern for the opinions of others more than the pleasure of Allah. Let's look at each of these. Lack of certain belief in the Akhirah and the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically defines this certain belief, yaqeen, as one of the qualities of the believers. He said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, and that they believe with certainty in the Akhirah. وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, that they believe with certainty in the Akhirah. It is this weakness of faith and the lack of certainty in belief in the Akhirah that leads to the confusion where the slave allows the orders of Allah to be superseded by his own so-called logic, his desires and arguments. It's important to remember that this is the first sign of belief with certainty. It is the first sign of belief with certainty in anything that a person acts in accordance with his belief. If we believe with certainty that it's going to rain, we will take an umbrella with us when we step out. If we believe with certainty that a particular object is hot, then we will take precautions while handling it to avoid getting burnt. So if we say that we believe with certainty that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be judged for our actions, yet we don't do anything to act in accordance with His orders, then we have to ask ourselves whether we really believe this or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispels all doubts in the matter. When He said in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ كَلَّا لَا وَزَرُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرُ. Allah said, on that day man will say, where is the refuge to flee? Where is the escape? Where is the door? And he will be told, no, there is no refuge. Unto your Rabb will be the place of rest that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah said, say, the angel of death who is set over you will take your souls. Then you would be brought to your Rabb. And if you could only see, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the mujrimoon, the criminals, the disobedient ones, shall hang their heads in shame before their Rabb, saying, O our Rabb, we have now seen and heard, so send us back to the world so that we can do righteous good deeds. Verily, we now believe with certainty. My brothers and sisters, that time would have been finished. The time to take these decisions, the time to do that, is now. Not when we are dead, not after we are dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who say that they believe while they actually don't. Well, Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكسبون. Allah said, and of mankind there are some hypocrites who say we believe in Allah in the last day, while in fact they don't believe. They are not believers. They seek to deceive Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajeeb. People seek to deceive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They seek to deceive the people of belief. They seek to deceive Allah and the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They seek to deceive Allah and they seek to deceive the believers, while they only deceive themselves. And they do not perceive even that. In their hearts is a disease of doubt and hypocrisy. And Allah has increased their disease. A painful torment is theirs because they used to tell lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from telling lies. It is the biggest curse to tell lies. Number two. Reason why we continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even though we know what a bad thing that is. And that is the tendency to follow one's own desires in opposition to the orders of Allah and the sunnah of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the emotional level of our decision making that is the problem, my brothers and sisters. things that we like to do and love, but which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says are not good for us, and so we must not do them. So there is a direct confrontation between what we desire and what Allah has permitted us. At this time, the one who accepts that Allah knows best has no problem in obeying Allah. But what about the others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen him who has taken as his ilah, as his God who he worships, his own vain desires and his passions? Would you then be a wakil? Would you be a disposer of his affairs? Would you be a watcher over him? Would you be an interceder? Would you be a recommender of such a person? Allah is saying, don't recommend such people. And Allah says, oh, or do you think that most of them even hear or understand? Allah says, they are only like cattle. Nay, they are even farther astray from the path. That is even worse than cattle, because the cattle recognize their Rabb and they obey their Rabb. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. My brothers and sisters, the most serious matter here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called following one's own desires in the face of and against his orders, shirk, or associating others in worship with him. This is of course clear when one sees the full meaning of the word ibadah in Arabic, which includes obedience. Bowing or prostration is the ultimate form or gesture of obedience. When a slave puts himself totally at the mercy of his Lord, there's no body position that is as defenseless as the sajda, as it is done in Islam. And that is why it is prohibited to make sujood, to make sajda to anyone except Allah. So we know from this that obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in opposition to our nafs is tawheed, and obeying our nafs in opposition to Allah is shirk. Yet we do it. Why? In my view, this is due both to the preceding thing I mentioned, the preceding illness, the lack of certain belief in the akhirah, and the one we are going to talk about just now, fear of or concern for the opinions of others above the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. My brothers and sisters, we follow our own desires and disobey Allah because we don't really believe that we will be called to account, or because we want to please others, family, friends, society, of all of whom we are more afraid and concerned than we are of the one who created us, sustains us, and to whom we will return. A shameful thing indeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us not to take disobedient people as our friends and associates. He warns us against making fun of his orders and of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the deen of Islam. He orders us to fear him and his majesty and power if we are indeed true believers. Remember that our ability to change our ways, to choose our friends, is a reflection of our faithfulness to Allah, which must be demonstrated by our actions. Ask yourself on the day of judgment, who do you need more, Allah or the loser who you refuse to leave, who disobeys Allah and makes fun of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Choose now. Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu alladhina attakhadhu dinakum huzuwan wa la'iba min alladhina utul kitaba min qablikum wal kuffara awliya wattaqullaha in kuntum mu'minin. Allah said, oh, you believe, do not take for awliya, do not take for your friends and close associates and protectors and helpers those who take your religion as a mockery and fun. And do not take them from among those who deceived the scripture before you, and nor from the disbelievers. And fear Allah if indeed you are true believers. Allah mentioned those who choose as their friends people who are disobedient to Allah and who make fun of the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and told us what will happen to us on the day of judgment if we continue those friendships. He said, ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم اتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خزولا.
Allah said, and remember the day when the zalim, the wrongdoer, the oppressor, the polytheist, will bite his hands in regret, will bite his hands. And he will say, oh, would that I had taken a path with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ah, woe to me, would that I had never taken so and so as a friend. They will name those friends today who they love so much, who they obey in opposition to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who they obey in opposition to Allah. They will name those friends and they will curse those friends. And they will say, he indeed led me astray from the reminder, the Quran, after it had come to me. And shaitan is ever a deserter to man in the hour of need. Ajib, we take the one who is the biggest deserter of human beings as our friend. And then we are surprised when he does what he is supposed to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who refuse to give up such friendships. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Allah said, verily those who annoy Allah and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter and has prepared for them a humiliating torment. May Allah save us from these things. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He has prepared a torment for those who annoy Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ إِن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهَ رَسُولًا. Allah said, and when they see you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they treat you as a mockery. And they say, is this the one whom Allah sent as a messenger?
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم إن نعفو عن طائفة منكم نعذب طائفة إنهم كانوا مجرمين.
Allah said, if you ask them about this, they declare, we were only talking idly and joking. Say to them, was it at Allah and His ayat and revelations that you and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you were joking? Were you joking about this? Were you joking about Allah and His ayat and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, make no excuse. If you have been doing this, then you have disbelieved after you had believed. You have become kafir after you were mu'min. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this terrible, terrible thing, that after having faith, after having accepted Islam, after having been blessed with Islam, that we let go of it because we want to be disobedient. Allah said, make no excuse. You have disbelieved after you had believed. You have become murtad. You have left Islam after you had entered Islam. If we pardon some of you, we will punish others amongst you because they were mujrimun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّبُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and their recompense and their reward will be Jahannam, because they disbelieved and took my ayat, my revelation, and my messengers as a way of jest and mockery. SubhanAllah, that's why we do not make jokes about the Anbiya, even in the so-called humor of the modern world.
It's a sign of the West that they have reduced everything holy to some form of profanity. They have reduced the holy and made it profane. May Allah protect us from this corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the qualities of the believers, the people who He is pleased with and who will be successful in the final assessment on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among them. Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi fasawfa yati Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu adhillatin ala al-mu'minina wa ala al-mu'minina a'izzatin ala al-kafirin yujahiduna fi sabilillahi wa la yakhafuna lawmata la'im thalika fadulullahi yu'tihi man yasha wallahu wasi'un alim. Allah said, O you who believe, whosoever from amongst you turns back from his religion, Allah will bring a people who He will love, and they will love Him, humble towards the believers and stern towards the disbelievers, fighting in the way of Allah, and never afraid of the blame of the blamers. That is the grace of Allah which He bestows on whom He wills, and Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs, and He is the All-Knower. This ayat tells us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with the ability to speak the truth, without any fear and without worrying about the opinions of other people, then inshallah this is a sign of the grace of Allah. And if you are among those who tend to go weak when it is the time to stand strong and speak the truth, then be warned that this is a sign that the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been lifted from you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be able to speak the truth without fear, because we fear Allah more than we fear anybody else, and we fear to displease Him more than we fear to displease anybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people as those who are not afraid of what the world will say, but to follow His orders in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He called them people who love Him and who He will love. Therefore, to give precedence to the orders of Allah is a sign of one's love for Allah and an assurance that Allah loves you, inshallah. Today it is customary and fashionable to talk about the importance of having love for Allah. Yet there is no sign of subjugating one's desires to His orders. A love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reflected only and only in obedience to Him. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smacks of hypocrisy and falsehood and is a deception of the great deceiver, the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts and reassures those who follow His orders that He will protect them from the displeasure of the world and of their society, and assures them of final success and victory over those that disbelieve and disobey Him. He said, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Verily, your wali, your protector, helper is none other than Allah, His messengers and the believers, those who perform salat and give zakat, and they are among the raki'un, those who submit themselves with obedience to Allah in salah. And whosoever takes Allah and His messenger and those who believed as protectors, then the party of Allah will be victorious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who are mentioned in this ayah. My brothers and sisters, I end with a dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us to be true to Him and to obey Him and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of whether anyone in this world likes it, approves of it, and applauds it or not. May He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us to make our deeds for His sake alone with ikhlas and not for any other reason. May He help us to do that which is pleasing to Him. no matter who else it displeases, and to stop doing that which is displeasing to him, no matter who it pleases. May he help us to follow the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to benefit from the blessing and guidance that he has kept in the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone. May Allah help us to become true standard bearers to the people of the world, the purpose for which he sent this ummah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.